Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, I have an interesting story here. You may have heard it before. I don't know if I heard it before because I don't know anything. But this is a rancher named Clyde had a car accident. In court, the trucking company's fancy lawyer was questioning Clyde. He says, "Didn't you say at the scene of the accident, 'I'm fine'?" asked the lawyer. Clyde responded, "Well, I'll tell you what happened. I had just loaded my favorite mule, Bessie, into the..." "I didn't ask for any details," the lawyer interrupted. "Just answer the question. Did you not say at the scene of the accident, 'I'm fine'?" Clyde said, "Well, I had just got Bessie into the trailer and I was driving down the road." The lawyer interrupted again and said, "Judge, I'm trying to establish the fact at the scene of the accident, this man told the highway patrolman on the scene that he was just fine. Please tell him to simply answer the question." By this time, the judge was fairly interested in Clyde's answer, and he says to the lawyer,
"As I am."
"I'd like to actually hear what he has to say about the favorite mule, Bessie." Clyde thanked the judge and proceeded. "Well, as I was saying, I had just loaded Bessie, my favorite mule, into the trailer and was driving her down the highway when this huge semi-truck and trailer ran the stop sign and smacked my truck right in the side. I was thrown into one ditch and Bessie was thrown into the other. I was hurting real bad and I didn't want to move. However, I could hear old Bessie moaning and groaning. Shortly after the accident, a highway patrolman came on the scene. He could hear Bessie moaning and groaning, so he went over to her. After he looked at her, he took out his gun and shot her between the eyes. Then the patrolman came across the road, gun in hand, looked at me and said, 'How are you feeling?' Now, what the hell would you say?" I thought that was pretty dang good.
It was. Well, look, if you've got a question about your car or anything else, or a story anywhere near that good, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Liz. I'm calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hi, Liz.
How you doing?
Fine, thanks. I have a stinky car problem. I have a 91 Honda Accord and a smell that I would say is similar to BO and something dead happens only when the sunroof is open and I'm in motion.
Oh, huh? Really?
Yes. And it goes away when I roll the windows down.
Wait. If the windows are up,
right,
and the sunroof is open,
right, and I'm in motion,
and you're in motion, you get the smell.
Yes.
If you leave the sunroof open, but open the windows as well, the smell goes away.
Yes.
I love it.
Well, it may be going
I
away.
I know exactly what it is.
Because
have
you been in her car?
I've got a... Oh, such an elegant solution to
this. Well, don't let me stand in your way. In fact, I'll leave the room.
When did you spill the stuff?
Nothing. It happened... It acutely came on 2 weeks ago.
It did?
Yeah.
Was it after a rainstorm?
No.
No, she's giving me all the wrong answers.
Yeah, go ahead. Now you know how I feel.
Right after a hot day when you had the air conditioning running?
No.
Oh, go ahead. You got five more questions before you slash your wrists.
Well, I don't know what the smell is, but I know why she's getting it when under these circumstances. There's something in the carpet.
Okay.
You open the sunroof. What happens? As we know, the Bernoulli effect immediately.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And whatever is in the car gets
sucked. We won't explain what the Bernoulli principle is, but suffice it to say that it is drawing whatever air is in the car out through...
Through the sunroof.
The sunroof.
Ah.
Right. It's sucking the air right up past your nose. Right?
Okay.
And you smell it.
Yeah.
When you open the windows, there's so much air now that the smell is diluted, and you don't
well,
smell
right,
it
right, you don't get the Bernoulli effect anymore. You get the Gumbatz effect.
Yeah, exactly.
So why doesn't it smell when I get in the car and it's been closed, like, all night long, with windows rolled up and everything?
It will eventually, I predict.
Yeah, I do, too. And I think it's mold.
Ew.
And I think it's from water that got into the car.
From the night that you left the sunroof open.
Yeah, right.
You didn't mention that, did you? Yeah, she's laughing.
No, she didn't do that.
Yeah, you did, huh?
No, I didn't.
You could have.
She didn't do that.
She didn't do that.
Yeah.
So what can I do?
You're in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
We used to have around here one of these Army-Navy stores where they sold surplus stuff?
Uh-huh.
You need to go to one of these places and buy a flamethrower. Because there's almost nothing that will kill mold spores.
Oh, yeah.
Except flames and bleach.
Bleach does it.
Oh.
And intense sunlight.
Oh.
But if it really is mold, and we've had people send us in all kinds of remedies, none of which have ever worked what I consider satisfactorily. The only thing that ever has worked is bleach, which you can't put on the rug because it'll discolor it, or removing the rug, or at least exposing the interior of the car to intense direct sunlight.
Did you tell us how old your car is? You did. It's 91.
Yeah.
See, I suspect that you have a leak somewhere.
Okay.
Like a windshield.
Like a windshield, exactly. And that's where the moisture came from that caused the mold.
Okay, I have a question. Maybe this is the source.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
My newly wedded husband
was
eating a banana and threw the peel down on the carpet, like maybe a month ago.
Nah.
And then began to step on it on accident.
He's an animal.
He is.
Yes, and you know what kind of an animal he is? He's a monkey. He's eating bananas.
No, I
don't think that would have caused it.
No.
Give him a kiss and tell him you're sorry.
Nice
you, tell him you're sorry you blamed him.
That's right.
Good luck, Liz.
Thank you.
See
you.
See you later.
Well, bye-bye. You'll never get rid of that smell. Hi. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Derek from New Orleans. I'm a truck driver. Right now I'm in the state of Missouri.
Derek from New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So what's up?
Oh, not much. Just this RPM on this car. I have a 1984 318i Kobe Special BMW.
Yeah.
And my RPM, for some reason, it just went sky high. There are times when I'm at the stop sign or the stoplight or the red light or something like that. And the RPM is so high, I have to put it in like second or third gear and push down on the brakes and release the clutch a little bit so as not to burn the motor up, you know.
Huh.
And I'm trying to see what's the problem. It's a nice car, but I just didn't want to burn it up, and I went ahead and bought me another 84 Mercedes, you know, but I would like to get this one fixed.
You like 84. That was a good year for you, huh, Derek?
Yeah.
Well, when you say this is obviously a manual transmission car,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting at a light and everything is okay, and then the RPM starts to go crazy and creep up?
Yeah, sky high.
But when you first come to the light and you step on the brake and you come to a stop, do the RPMs immediately go up?
Immediately. The slower you go, the higher the RPM goes up.
Yeah.
How high have you let it go before you panicked?
About maybe 2,500
RPM.
RPM, yes.
And the way you lower the RPM is you're actually putting it in gear and letting the clutch out a little bit.
Right.
That's bad because what you're doing is the equivalent of riding the clutch.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, this could be something really simple. I mean, you want to know how simple it could be? It could be as simple as the floor mat is interfering with the return of the gas pedal.
I checked for that also.
Good.
And I don't have a floor mat.
Well, there you go.
I don't have a
floor mat. Mats are evil.
Yeah.
So,
but you got to take care of it because if you don't, it's going to cost you $500 for a clutch.
Yeah, you're going to burn. Well, first of all, it's not likely that the RPM is going to continue to climb up and up and up to the point where it's in danger of blowing the engine. It won't blow the engine.
Right.
What's causing the idle speed to go up, I believe, is something called the idle air control, and it's sticking.
Uh-huh.
The idle air control is what's supposed to make the engine fast idle when it's cold and warming up. It's supposed to let air get into the cylinders. But it's doing that, in your case, when the engine is all warmed up and it's not supposed to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find the idle air control, I believe on this thing it's located under the intake manifold.
Yeah.
You can tap it with, you know, like a small hammer or the end of a screwdriver.
Or your shoe.
Well, is the idle air control similar to the throttle position control sensor?
No, that's something else.
Okay, because I did replace the throttle position control sensor that didn't help, I guess, you know.
How much did that cost you?
I don't know. Somebody bought it for me.
Oh, it was like a new Christmas stocking or something?
Well, he was at the parcel store, and I told he asked me if I needed anything. I told yeah, I'll get me one of that. That might be the problem.
Ah, it was FOC, fell off counter.
Well, he purchased it.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
So
no, I mean,
idle air control, is it something that I can do?
It's something you can do yourself. See if he can find an idle air control, like, lying around on the floor someplace. Once you know what it looks like, if you go to the parts department and say, what does it look like? And they say, this is what it looks like. Then you can go and find yours, and you can tap on it when it's revving like this. And or if I'm not mistaken, this may even have an electrical connector on it. You can unplug it and see if, in fact, the idle goes down. Now, if it does go down, it might be the computer that's causing this problem and not the idle air control. So you may have to take it someplace. Because if you went ahead and replaced the idle air control – and the same, and the new one misbehaved like the old one, you would know that we were wrong, and you'd need probably the computer, but we wouldn't want to be responsible for that misdiagnosis. We make enough mistakes every week. So you're not driving the truck now, obviously. You're driving
I had to pull over because the reception wasn't too good, you know, but I'm at the truck stop, and, you know, that's where I'm at right now.
You're not driving the BMW now.
No,
the car's home,
the
right.
Truck. I'm driving the big rig.
Yeah. So what do you deliver mostly?
I deliver mostly beer.
Beer?
Beer, yes.
Boy, that's great.
And frozen food.
And pretzels.
I drive a reefer truck.
You drive a reefer truck. That's great. So when it gets really hot, you know where to go and cool off.
Well, it hasn't come to that yet, you know, but I have a good AC system in my cab.
But you don't have any beer in your cab.
No, right now I have frozen meat.
Frozen meat.
Yes.
Well, drive carefully, Derek, and hopefully you can get this fixed without too much trouble when you get back home.
And I thank you very much.
All right.
It's been a pleasure listening to you guys over the years.
A pleasure talking to you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Robin. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm doing great, but I actually have a disagreement with the other half here and would like a neutral party who deals with these things to help us out.
What would that be?
We'll do our best.
I know you will do your best. And actually, I'm actually going to love the answer because I feel I'm right.
Okay.
It's actually regarding when you go to the car wash and you pressure wash your car with the pressure washer.
Oh, the kind you do yourself.
You do it yourself.
Yeah.
My husband has this feeling that he should be pressure washing the rear end of the car or, you know, kind of like stick it up the exhaust and clean that all out.
Up the exhaust pipe?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I won't go there, but...
And you are disagreeing with him?
Oh, heavily. Heavily, heavily.
Good for you.
This is like a car colonic or something.
A car colonic, yes.
Yeah.
I'm telling him that, you know, okay, I can understand you getting the gunk off the outside of the exhaust, the carbon buildup and stuff on the tailpipe.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, sticking it up the muffler and getting all that water in the exhaust system is actually bad. He's like, well, if the car's running, it's going to push the, you know, all that water out. And I'm like, uh-uh.
Well, Robin, we are in your corner, 100%.
Absolutely in your corner.
We think he's nuts.
He's crazy.
Well, I know he's nuts. I mean, I knew that when I married him. But
and how long ago was that? How long have you had to endure this insanity?
10 years of marriage, 20 years of knowing him.
Well, I mean, he is right in that it won't necessarily do any harm. First of all, you shouldn't necessarily have the engine running when you're doing this. It just wastes gas. He wants it running so he can shoot the water in the tailpipe. And he must enjoy seeing the pressure of the exhaust push the water out.
It has to be. I don't know. He doesn't do it anymore. But, you know, he did it about a year ago. And I think it was me constantly nagging that got him to stop.
Yeah, that usually does work.
Either that or me, you know, like playing with the button on the side so we go off pressure brush.
It must make him feel like he has completed the job.
He you know, it's totally getting the car clean, I guess.
You know, your friends who listen to the show are going to find this out about your husband. Does he want this?
They already know because I asked them.
He isn't embarrassed by this?
I don't think so.
No, because he's convinced he's right.
Yes.
Well, it really can't hurt very much. It certainly isn't good for the car. I can't imagine that it's doing any good. Water is one of the products of combustion. Getting a little extra in the muffler at the worst may cause the muffler to rot out prematurely. But,
well, that was my complaint too. I'm like, oh, Hondas are known for going through mufflers.
Yeah, and that would negate any benefit he hopes to reap from washing out the tailpipe.
Yeah.
You know.
I told him to knock it off. He's done pretty good. I said, if you want to do it to your car, that's fine, but stop doing it to mine.
Yeah.
So,
well, stop doing it to his too.
I will encourage him to do that.
Okay.
And I thank you guys for your opinion on
great.
This.
See you, Robin. Take
all
care.
Right.
Bye-bye. Okay, it's time for your weekly Puzzler Hints.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The reason you can never remember the Puzzler is that the space between your ears is blank.
The space between my ears is blank.
Right! Unoccupied, actually. But blank is close enough.
It's good.
The Puzzler was about an unoccupied car and an unusual accident. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
It's been broken hearts and auto parts and everything between. I was on the move and in the soup and on the silver screen. Rocking hot days to live inside my dreams. It's been broken hearts and auto parts this year.
And even those Civil War reenactors put their ears as close as possible to the cannons whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's Puzzler, which I must say my brother got right away, even though the space between his ears is blank. This was sent in by a listener named Mark Sackler from cyberspace. I think cyberspace, Illinois, but I'm
very
not sure.
Very crowded.
And he wrote, this is a true story. It really happened to me many years ago. My car was in an accident, and the significant facts are... 1. My car, a 1982 Toyota Celica, rear-ended another vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
2. The other vehicle was stationary at the instant of the accident. Mm. 3. My car was unoccupied at the time of the accident. I guess that was a big hint.
That was very good.
If I had really thought of it, I would have left that one out. 4. I was a passenger in the other vehicle when it was struck by my car. And here's the kicker, 5. The accident was the other vehicle's fault, that is, the struck vehicle's fault, and their insurance paid for the damage to my vehicle. And the question was, what kind of vehicle did his car hit?
Yes. I got this one right
you
away.
You did. And his car hit the tow truck.
That was dragging his car.
Well, he had broken down. He had called the tow truck to tow his car. The guy hooked it up. He pulled away and... immediately, his car fell off the tow truck because he had hooked it up incorrectly. The driver,
of course, hits the brakes
with our passenger, with the Mark sitting in the passenger seat, slams on the brakes. The Toyota comes from behind and smashes into the tow truck, does a couple of $1,000 worth of damage, which the tow truck's insurance company had to pay for.
Very, very good.
I thought it was pretty.
I think you could have. I have to say. There were so many opportunities to truly obfuscate this thing.
Really?
And you...
I fell down on the job?
Something's happened. You may have had some kind of an epiphany.
Well, I did.
And you know that the evil that men do
I did.
Is in the obfuscation that
yeah.
they give to these puzzlers. And you made this...
From now on, it's the straight and narrow
for
me.
I mean, for even the question, what kind of vehicle did his car strike?
That was a hint right there.
There's a hint right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, boy. Well, I'll do better from now on. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Our winner this week is Peggy Ratz from Pacific, Missouri. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Peggy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can get her very own copy of our CD, Car Talk Cartoons, which, by the way, is a million seller. It means we got a million of them in my brother's cellar.
Anyway, we will have a brand new mathematical puzzler, I guess you'd have to say, coming up in the third half of the show. So don't resod your lawn just yet. If you have a question about your car or anything, we don't care. You can give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Lee Anderson from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Lee.
Hi.
From where, Oklahoma?
Tulsa.
Tulsa.
Oh, yes. Tulsa.
Yeah.
Like in 24 hours from.
Yeah, probably. I've never made the drive, but I would assume so.
No, it's a famous song. I was 24 hours from Tulsa.
Oh, well, I've never heard it.
No, you're too young.
Yeah, probably.
I guess so.
Yeah, you have to be at least like 71.
Well, it's about 50 years on me then. So.
Yeah.
What's up, Lee?
It was a Dvorak song, I think.
I have a 96 Toyota 4Runner that 6 months ago I decided I was going to be a liberated feminist and try to change my own oil. And I read the manual that reads like Japanese stereo instructions and thought I could figure it out, made the attempt. Got my car, took it for a test drive. I had a friend in the car, and decided to smoke. And my friend assured me that was probably just because I had overfilled the compartment, and the oil was just burning off, I guess, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And after driving for a while, it was still smoking.
When did the fire start?
Yeah, exactly. After about 5 minutes, I decided that I didn't want to wait for the fire, so I pulled into the nearest mechanic. And after about 5 minutes, he came out laughing and told me that I had actually drained the transmission fluid.
Oh.
And filled that with oil, and I still had dirty oil in the other compartment. So about $150 later, which would have cost me $27 at a quick lube, the problem was fixed.
Solved.
They
yeah.
flushed it a few times. But ever since then, it, especially when I'm going uphill, from first to second gear, it won't catch very well. It goes all the way up to 5 RPMs.
So what did... You drained out the transmission fluid instead of the oil, and then
drained the automatic transmission.
Yeah,
fluid.
But then where did you add the new oil
in the automatic transmission fluid compartment?
Oh, you did?
How'd
you know enough to do that?
How'd you do that? I mean, that's not easy. That's not easy to do. That's why I'm questioning it.
Well, I just poured it in.
Do you feel liberated now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, $150 later.
You liberated
of her money.
Yeah. The guy brought five of his friends out just to see this ridiculous maneuver I tried
okay,
to pull.
Okay, so you actually poured 5 quarts of oil into your transmission.
I don't think it only took like 3 quarts, and I thought
well,
that
sure.
was odd. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So you had never added oil to this thing, so you didn't know where to put the oil.
No, I had no idea. No.
Right.
And whatever possessed you.
I'm in medical school, and I decided if I could do medical school, I should be able to change my oil.
What field of medicine are you pursuing?
Well, I'm actually just a first year, so I haven't decided yet, but hopefully nothing that has to do with systematic parts.
No,
nothing that has to do with fluids.
Stick with dermatology.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, anyway, here's the deal. You added a lubricant to a system that doesn't really have a lubricant. I mean, the transmission oil is a lubricant of sorts, but it's not anywhere on the scale
of lubricity
that motor oil is.
Lubricity. We both pulled that word out. Wow.
So you, while I'm sure they got a lot of it out, the reason that it's slipping now, or you have what's called a delayed shift, is that the oil that's still in there is wreaking havoc on the clutches and the bands and all the other pieces.
And they didn't really get it all out because it's not easy to do that.
Did they just drain it out, or did they hook a machine up to it?
They hooked a machine up to
it. Oh, they did?
Yeah, they said they had to flush it 3 times, and they told me to put it into all the gears. But...
Oh, well.
They didn't do it enough.
Okay.
Either that or you're done for. And I'm going to vote for you're done for.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say you go back and they flush it 3 more times.
Okay.
And
yeah, but for another 85 cents, you can have a rebuilt transmission put in. I mean, this is going to run into money.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I would go back. I would take Tommy's advice.
Okay.
What was I thinking? Somebody hit me. and have them do it again, you know, several times. And if that doesn't fix it, then you're done.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the advice.
Aren't you sweet?
But at least I tried.
Well, at least you tried. I mean, I don't know where you got the instructions, but evidently you read the instructions somewhere for changing the transmission fluid.
Yes, so if you ever need to know how to do that, come find me.
So would you, do you have instruction books in medical school?
Yes, but they read a little bit more clearly than this Toyota manual.
Oh, so. They do.
And you got this out of the owner's manual?
Well, just to find the compartment.
Oh, so the rest of it you intuited.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Didn't do a good job.
You got to be a great doctor.
Well, thank you guys very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, good luck,
Lee.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
I think a transmission for that's going to be about 1,500.
I mean, she had to make some giant leaps to get to where she gone.
Yeah, but she's that kind of person. I mean, she wouldn't be in medical school if she weren't able to make those leaps.
I'm not going to Tulsa.
Me neither. 1-888-GAR-TALK. That's 888.
That's if you went for a transfusion. God knows what she'd do to you.
Could be scary. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jack from Jackson, Wyoming.
Hey, Jack from Jackson.
Right.
What's up?
I've got a 85 Bronco 2. It's my girlfriend's car, and I drive it in the winter because I don't want to take out my 68 Mercury Park Lane convertible.
Ooh.
I don't blame you.
So I'm driving this Bronco, and all of a sudden it's like I got a tropical rainforest inside this car. It's wintertime. You know, I put on the defroster, and the windows are fogged up, and it's blowing hot air, but they just keep getting foggier and foggier. I can't even wipe it off.
Oh, Jack.
So I came to the experts here.
Well,
when you say you can't wipe it off, is it like oily?
Well, it seems like it. So I thought, okay, I get in there with some Windex, you know, at night when I got home.
Yeah.
And next morning it's clear, you know, and then next day it's the same way again, you know.
Yeah.
It's like it's raining in there.
Because when you turn on the defroster, something else besides hot air is coming out.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it might be coolant.
Well, it smells like antifreeze.
Oh, Jack!
There's a smell in the car.
Yeah.
It's a sweet smell.
Yeah, smells like antifreeze.
Yeah.
He knows what antifreeze smells like. And that's exactly what it is, because you have a leaking heater core.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, there's two fixes for this.
Right.
Well, there are lots of fixes.
Lots? I'll give two.
Go ahead.
One is you replace the heater core.
That's one.
That's one.
The other one is you put a clamp on the hose that's leading to the heater core.
Right.
That's true.
That way you don't get any heat either. What, you know more solutions than that?
Well, you can add stop leak to the cooling system. I mean, it's after all.
Of course, chemicals. How
can you forget the wonderful world of chemicals?
Or even pepper.
Stop leak, huh?
Well,
eggs.
There are some stop leak compounds that will, you know, if the hole isn't huge, may fix it. And there's always, don't forget, the ever-popular Bronco Nagurski long underwear.
Yeah.
So if you have to disconnect the heater entirely, you can just tough it out with the long johns.
Well, fortunately, winter's about over here. So
exactly.
You got all summer to forget about it.
Yeah, well, all summer I'm going to be driving the convertible.
I have a vague recollection that this heater core is very easy to replace.
Really?
I think so.
E5 Bronco.
I think it's done right from under the hood.
Oh, really?
I mean, I haven't done one since like 87. But my recollection is, and it could be all wrong, but you should go and look it up someplace, because it could be a one-hour job. And if it isn't, then I'd put all the stuff. I'd put eggs, peppers, salami, everything in the
Or you can just give it back to your girlfriend and
say,
and
I don't
say
know.
Nothing.
Right.
And next year, when she offers you the thing, you say, I don't know.
This was working fine when I gave it to you.
Maybe.
It was working fine when I gave it to
she
you.
She won't be your girlfriend next year.
Well, then I'd have to go out and look, and I don't want to do that at my age.
All right. Good luck, Jack.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lonnie from Anchorage. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Not bad.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to help you guys take Car Talk to a whole new level, because what I'm doing is I'm giving
down or
a
up.
psychology of driving question.
Really?
All right, yes. And be prepared, because you guys are going to just totally lay into me when I give you this.
Okay,
this is the deal. When my husband and I first met, he was something of a distracted driver, which means he would not notice things like stop signs, other cars, the road.
Well, it was obviously your beauty that was distracting him.
Yeah, that's what he says. I think that's a crock. So anyway.
Yeah, but it works with my wife.
Right.
But so anyway, over the years, I've kind of gotten into this habit of this really horrendous backseat driving. And it was kind of, you know, reinforced a couple of times because there were a couple of instances where we would have died had I not said something.
So it's like little, that was a stop sign, hun. The light is still red, hun.
See, the man who's giving us the finger, hun. Yes,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
All that, yeah.
And so anyway, basically now he's gotten so much better. I mean, he really has put so much effort into driving much, much more carefully. He's much, much better. I am still horrendous. I mean, it's constantly, like, when we're in the car, this is what it sounds like. Put the brake, and it's fine.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he needs a court injunction against you.
No, roll a duct tape will do it.
Well,
see, this is Alaska. You fix anything with a roll of duct tape.
So you think that he's gotten better, and yet you don't really believe that in your heart of hearts.
Well, she can't stop herself.
No, you can't stop yourself because he hasn't gotten better in your mind.
Well, she just admitted. So cognitively, she admits that he has improved.
Yes, he has.
So whatever's going on is either self-conscious or she's got the nagging gene and she can't get rid of it.
Oh, yeah. You might be an
inveterate nagger, an I-N.
Oh, no. Well, see, because our anniversary is coming up in a couple of weeks.
How many years?
So, 4 years of being married.
Oh,
we've been together for 9.
Guy.
We have 2 small children, and my little girl, my little 3-year-old, is going to start picking up on this if I don't stop.
So, I mean, you can't stop yourself. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, I try. The last time we went on a long trip, because basically, I don't know if y'all have ever been on the Seward Highway.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, and we usually drive down to see his parents through the Seward Highway. Now, it's absolutely beautiful, but basically, one side is mountains, very sharp rocks. Mm-hmm. The other side is water that if you land in it, you're dead. It's hypothermia, you know? So it's really beautiful, but it's also a little bit dangerous, and people tend to drive a little crazy. So I'm a little bit nervous about other drivers as well, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
see, just talking to you, Lonnie, I can tell that you're a little on the hyper side.
Oh, I'm from New York. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
From New York.
So you went to Anchorage to calm down? You didn't go far enough north. You need to go. You know how they
you
say.
Need,
in,
you need a little hypothermia.
You know how they say in deep space where the temperature approaches absolute zero, uh-huh, all motion stops?
That's what you need.
You need.
Yeah.
So you say that basically I need to, like, go into absolute zero.
You sort of, like, lighten up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you may have to go within the Arctic Circle.
I mean, think about what it. What if the tables were reversed here? You'd be slapping him all over the place.
Oh, you have no idea. Of course. Yeah, that's why.
But you can do it. I mean, just come on.
You need to take those pills.
What pills?
Any pills.
Any pills. Take anything.
Take everything.
A couple of Advil, mix it with a little bit of Jack Daniels, and then maybe we'll have some.
That's it.
Yeah, no, yeah. But you need to do, you know what you need?
Yeah.
Yoga.
Yeah.
You will find inner peace, harmony, and tranquility.
Oh, yeah.
Through yoga.
Yeah.
We just happen to have the tapes, the $39.95 the offer. And if you call today, we'll send you the knife set.
Well, that sounds great, guys.
Hey, good luck.
Do you drink coffee?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. And, like now.
And give your husband a hug for us and tell him that we empathize and we
and sympathize,
and
more
we sympathize.
Importantly. See you, Lonnie.
Good luck.
All right. Jeez. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah, she was a fast talker. I mean,
man.
Yeah, she doesn't belong in Anchorage. Where was she from?
New York. Well, she was from New York. Her brain is operating on New York time, and she's in the tropics there.
The tropics. All right, look, it's that time again where we need to pause and let our stations have a few words with you.
Most likely those words are going to be something like, don't blame us for this stupid show.
Could be. Anyway, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
She had 4 heavy doors and worn-out sofa-like seats, though she was less than 10 years old. She looked like a tank on the streets. She had faded gray paint and a grill that looked sad, but she was only $200, and that's how much I had. I paid the man and drove her home, proud as I could be, my elbow out the window, cruising to be seen. With a butt's worth of gas, you could drive around all night. Get said but true, but my first car was the best part of my life. 54 rows.
And even though conductors keel over into their orchestra pits whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
The new mathematical puzzler.
Did I say that?
You did say that. You promised us mathematics.
All right. Here it is.
Go ahead. real numbers? Irrational numbers?
Oh, no. These are very real numbers.
Irrational conclusions.
Probably that. Get a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
You have two flagpoles or telephone poles that are each 100 feet tall, and they're parallel to one another. So imagine these two telephone poles are not unlike you'd see on a street.
Sure.
Okay, and they're 100 feet tall.
100 feet tall and some distance apart.
That's for you to determine.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
And we're going to attach a rope from the very top of one of them to the top of the other.
Yeah.
And it's going to droop down.
Sure.
Okay. And that drooping rope is actually called a catenary.
Yes.
From the Latin...
Catena.
Catenarius, which means...
No, it's catena. The catena is chain.
Yeah, well, it's the same word in Italian, but catenarius means having to do... catenius, actually. Having to do or pertaining to chains.
Which I often wondered about. Did they have chains in ancient Rome?
Of course. What? The lions were chained to the floor. Oh, no, that was the Christians.
They had chains, yes. Really?
Yeah, they took you away in chains.
I guess they did, yeah.
Yeah, no, they had chains. So you got the picture now. You've got these 200-foot tall...
I got it.
...telephone poles.
Yeah.
And you've got this 150-foot rope.
Oh, how long is the rope?
150 feet.
Oh, the rope is 150 feet. Got it.
And it's between the two of them.
Yeah.
The question is, simply, you know, and as I explained, the rope's going to droop down. It's going to make this arc, which
catenary.
Is called a catenary.
Yeah.
What must be the distance between the two flagpoles or telephone poles so that the lowest point of this catenary is 25 feet above the ground? Now, if you think you know...
Beautiful!
Now, if you think you know the answer, send it on a $21 bill or a postcard.
$21 postcard.
To Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us, of course, from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car and it can't wait, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Mark with a K?
With a K.
I'm practicing, okay.
Doing no really C's. Good.
Yeah. Okay, what's going on, man?
Hey, I've got an 84 GMC truck, and about 2 weeks ago, I was...
A pickup truck?
A pickup truck.
Yeah.
And I was driving out to the county landfill, and I drove over a large plastic bag.
Oh.
And I didn't see it come out the back, and a couple of seconds later, I started hearing a loud flapping noise.
Yeah.
I stopped the truck, I got out and looked under, and it had wrapped itself around the joint where the drive shaft connects to the rear axle.
Oh, really?
And since I was at the dump, I didn't want to climb under it and pull it out. So I thought, well, if I drive off, maybe it'll blow away. If not, when I get home, I'll just pull it off.
It's amazing how strong plastic bags are.
Well, that's what I found.
Yeah.
I drove home, and when I got home, I looked underneath it, and it was still there, and it had wrapped itself really tight around this joint. And so I had to go get a knife and start cutting it to try to get it off.
Sure, sure.
And I worked on it for about 20 minutes, and I got almost all of it off, but I found that part of the bag was sucked into that joint, and it melted. And so I got off everything I could except for the part that was melted inside, so now there's like a plastic bag O-ring inside of this joint.
Now, this is the
U-joint?
This is the universal joint? Is that what I'm going to call this thing?
I guess it's
where at the end of the drive shaft.
The end of the drive shaft.
Where the drive shaft goes into the rear end.
Right.
Is it actually, there's a joint that looks like a plus sign.
Yeah, it's right in there.
Oh, that won't hurt anything.
Oh, forget it.
It's not going to hurt anything?
No.
Well, no, it's not going to hurt anything. I'm trying to think of what you could spray in there to dissolve it.
I know what you can spray in there. A flamethrower.
No.
Burn it. Melt it.
I'm thinking that you can spray something like carburetor cleaner.
Okay.
Do you think that?
I do think so. I think carburetor cleaner, depending upon what kind of a bag it is.
Well, given that this is right near the gas tank, I would take my little...
blowtorch.
My little butane
disregard blowtorch. Everything my brother's about to say. But I would take... Do you have a piece of the plastic that you... Did you save a piece?
I did.
Great. You need to experiment with a couple of things, and one of them I think is going to be carburetor cleaner.
Okay.
But if you can't dissolve it, I don't think it's the end of the world.
It's not going to do any damage if it gets sucked further in.
Forget about it.
It's it seems to work all right. There are no noises, no flapping, no squeaking, no grunting.
No, well, I mean, the truck's already making lots of other noises.
Right,
I mean,
no new ones.
This may have quieted the truck down a little bit.
It might have actually helped.
It might
have.
Well, great discoveries are often made like this. You may find out there's some benefit, so you might want to leave it alone. But if you decided to leave it alone, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
See you, Mark.
Thanks.
Thanks for your call.
Goodbye.
Hey. Do you know what time it is?
Of course. Time for our oil, lube, and 1040 EZ special at the garage?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we invite the pigeons into the studio and see if they actually come home to roost.
Or just poop all over the microphones like they usually do. Anyway, who's our lucky player this week?
It's Father Patrick from Ohio. Do you remember Father Patrick?
Of course I remember Father Patrick.
Well, this Father Patrick called us a few months back because his car was in need of a little healing.
My temperature gauge isn't functioning. It's just down on cold.
Hmm.
The car runs fine. The only thing is that I've noticed the heater's not heating as much as it used to. It still heats, but I used to be able to get nice and toasty in there, and now it's comfortable, but, you know, it's not the sauna it used to be.
Oh, this I would call this divine intervention.
I would say Andy Devine it comes from, right?
Andy Devine, yeah. You know, what kind of a car is it did you have, Father?
A 1985 Chrysler LeBaron convertible.
Don't fix it.
No. It's a convertible. You have to fix a convertible.
All right. So what do we tell Father Patrick was wrong?
Well, we both agreed on this one, that the temperature gauge was working just fine, and it's not the gauge. We thought his real problem was something like a coolant leak, and we told him to pray that it was a hose and not a head gasket.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Well, let's see if we got it right, or we have to start saying Hail Marys. Father Patrick, are you there?
I am here, gentlemen.
Look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is true.
And also that the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the deluxe bingo wheel that we sent to your parish.
Louie's a cutie, but she hasn't influenced me.
Okay.
All right, listen, Father. Was it a coolant leak?
No.
Oh!
But I have a confession to make.
No, we're supposed to be doing that.
Wait, you lied to us.
Well, no, I
you left out something.
I left out something. I should have told you that, like, 2 weeks before, I had had my oil changed, which meant they had changed all the fluids, so I was pretty sure that my fluids were okay.
So you knew that they were okay.
I was pretty sure that they
were. And you didn't lie. You just withheld pertinent information.
Exactly.
Oh. That's worse than lying.
Oh, so that
10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys.
Boy, you're tough.
So it was just the temperature sensor, wasn't it?
No.
What was it?
The thermostat.
The thermostat, sure.
Yeah.
$58 out the door.
Oh,
that's not bad.
Brother.
Not bad.
Yeah. Oh, you'll get that back in the first round of bingo. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, there might have to be an extra collection this Sunday, right? A nice for Father Patrick's thermostat.
The thermostat collection.
That's, well, I did think of the thermostat back when we spoke.
Oh, it's easy to say that now.
Well, sure, it's easy to say that because you lied to us before.
All right. That's it. Bye, Father.
God bless, gentlemen.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chump.
Thanks a lot and good luck.
Bye-bye.
Wait, I don't think this should go into our batting average because we tell the guy he's got a leak and he knows that he just had the whole thing changed.
And he purposely
let us go on with that. That's not fair. Berman set him up.
I think so. They were in this together.
I'm going to kick your butt, Berman.
Anyway, look, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, by all means, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Or you can call, and you can probably stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-77, 888-22-55-8822, which is 8822.
This is an irrational number. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marg calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
What's your name?
Marg.
Oh, Marg.
As in Margaret?
As in Marguerite.
Marguerite. And you're from where?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, I have a situation here, okay?
Yeah, a situation.
Husband, yes. My husband's coming home in about 3 weeks from a year-long sailing trip. And he's 1991 Mazda Navajo 5-speed. He's left it here with me. I need to come up with a technical reason of why this car moved forward, rolled down into the backyard, and hit a tree.
Hmm.
And let me tell you, my driveway does slope down, okay, but at the bottom where the two cars sit, it's flat.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back for a minute to this
year-long sailing trip.
Was he in the Merchant Marine, or is
it? His lifelong dream was to sail across the Atlantic, and he took our boat across the Atlantic.
It took him a year?
Well, you have
is
to
he
wait.
Rolling?
You have to wait till hurricane season is over before you come back.
Ah.
And so that's just over. So he's working his way back. He's down in the Bahamas.
And he's not in any hurry to get home either. Hon, a mast broke. I may be here until September or October.
We never know. There's always something going on with the boat.
Who was on the cruise with him besides his secretary?
I never know. Actually, he's got a couple guys helping him and his stepson.
And this is a good size vessel.
It's a 38 foot, but it's an ocean going vessel. It's pretty sturdy.
Ocean going my ass.
that's what he tells me.
Yeah, I mean, you go on the QE2, and even that thing is tossed around. 38 foot.
What is he, nuts?
Well, we won't discuss
well,
that.
I want to know one thing. I'm sure my wife will be very interested to know this. Did they cancel his life insurance when he was... Or the suspend it in some way?
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure.
You do too know.
they may have. No, he's a good sailor. He's very good.
How old a guy is he?
Well, he's 67. But anyway, he's on his way home. And the one little background thing I wanted to tell you about this car that was at the bottom of the driveway. Okay, it's a 1991 Mazda Navajo 5-speed.
Got it.
Yeah.
I did get in his car a couple months ago when there was ice on the driveway.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to get it up. I wasn't successful. I got my car out, and I went to work. When I returned home, I covered his car up. I left it there. This was on Friday. Monday, I walk outside. The car's gone. I scream. I call the police. The police come over right away. I'm like, oh, my God, my car is gone. I watch the cop. He's walking down the driveway. He goes, lady, your car is in the backyard. I said, what do you mean? And I looked, and it was really bad. I mean, it's really bad. Okay, I mean, it's like 60 feet down in this ravine and hit this tree. And the guy's laughing. I said, how could it? It's been sitting here for 3 days. I haven't touched it. Nobody has touched it.
When
you got to the car.
Yeah.
Was it in gear?
It was not in gear,
and the brake was not on.
Well, the
and you did that, Marg.
No, I put it in gear. Don't they?
If we're going to represent you, if we're going to be your attorneys in this matter, we have to have the absolute truth from you.
Yeah.
You forgot to put it in gear, or if you did, you did a lousy job. You didn't have it all the way in, and it popped out, and the emergency brake didn't work too well, and it slid down the hill, and
I canceled the collision insurance too. I forgot to tell you that.
So now it's also how much damage has been done?
It's only about $2,500.
Only about
car's not worth a whole lot.
Yeah, I think the best time to spring this on him is when he gets right off the boat.
Okay.
You might as well. I mean, he's going to be, you know, ebullient when he sees you.
Yes.
He's going to be overjoyed to be on terra firma and to be in the arms of his loving wife. And what better time to spring the bad news on
him? Hi, hon. Welcome home. I wrecked your car.
Yeah, and I can say, do I have to take the blame? I can't say this was a malfunction.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It was a malfunction, but it was your malfunction.
Yeah.
But you know what I thought what was unusual is that for 3 days it actually sat there.
Well, sure.
For 3 days.
Yeah, that can happen.
It can happen, though.
It
You're
can
telling me
happen,
can
absolutely.
Happen.
I mean, you know, it starts out as a little bit of a movement, and all of a sudden...
Well, what can happen is it can if it's almost in gear,
uh-huh.
almost fully engaged, it can sit there, and very gradually it can start to work its way out,
mm-hmm.
and then something insignificant like
a wind.
Gust of wind can
yeah,
push it.
It was
just,
a little windy.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
It can push it just enough so that shifter goes,
okay.
and it pops into neutral, and then, as they say, it's a slippery slope from then on.
That's it. Okay, guys, well, I'll just have to, you know.
Hey, good luck,
good
Mark.
Luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
He may set sail again the next day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our intern is Ariel Niedermeyer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Melrose, Cheetos, Pig's Toes, Mangoes, Sloppy Joes, Cheerios, and No Doughs, Anything Goes supper shows, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otek Ashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our cleanliness inspector is Adolf DeFleur. Our museum guide is Desdemona Lisa. Our videographer from the Tel Aviv office is Shlomo Replay. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn, and the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the tenured falafel vendors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week, we hope. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1116, trot through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week on cartalk.com, how to set your rear view mirrors to completely eliminate the blind spot.
What blind spot?
You know, when you're changing lanes or you're backing up.
I don't need that. I back up fine.
Really? Did it ever occur to you to wonder why Berman has been limping?
Whoops.
An ingenious solution to the blind spot problem this week on CarTalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss wonder if they have a case against us whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.